Good afternoon, everybody. This is not a bottle of Ozarka drinking water, as it looks. This is a bottle, 5 U.S. gallons, of the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Lord. This is the most complex compound that's ever been distilled, and we've got a bottle of it right here with us. And for my text today, I want to turn to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11. And you've read this scripture dozens of times. It's talked about at the feast. I'm sorry, not 2:11. I wrote the wrong scripture down. I think it's 11. How about 11:9? It says, "They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters covers the sea." This is repeated of sorts in Habakkuk 2:14, where it says, "Knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea." So God's trying to tell us that a time is coming when the earth is going to be full of knowledge of Him and knowledge of His glory. And if there's a way that He's trying to communicate the amount of His knowledge that's going to be on the earth, He says it's going to fill the earth like the waters cover the sea. So He's making a comparison to the sea. Now, when I was a young lawyer at Crowe and Dunleavy, another lifetime ago, our firm defended the Mobil Oil Company, who was accused of polluting the water supply of the town of Surreal, down in Surreal, Oklahoma. And as I remember, I didn't work on this lawsuit, but as I remember seeing a chart, and I believe it was Mobil Oil was accused of pumping salt water, so much salt water down a disposal well that somehow it leached under the ground and polluted the town's water supply. And there was a poster that had been introduced into the evidence, as I remember, that showed how many truckloads of salt had dump trucks of salt and how many Morton salt containers of salt were over the years poured down that saltwater disposal well. And it was a huge number. They had it broken down, I think, by dump trucks of salt, bags of rock salt, and then they had little Morton 16-ounce shakers of salt like you'd buy at the store. And that was the way they were going to communicate to the jurors, how much salt allegedly Mobil had dumped down that well. Well, not here to talk about that lawsuit, but it was a very powerful communication device to show that how many Morton salts. So what I want to know, before we leave today, I want you to have an understanding, and I want to have an understanding about how much water, how many, when you hear that scripture, how about the knowledge of God covering the earth like the waters cover the sea, I want to know how many of those, how much seawater, or how many Ozarka water bottles would it take if all of the seawater in the world was put into 5-gallon Ozarka bottles. Now, to do this, weeks ago I enlisted the help of a civil engineer here in the congregation, and I bet a lot of you maybe knew this, some of you didn't know, but Joel Morrell is a civil engineer. You thought he was just a quiet librarian and guitar player, but he actually has a civil engineering degree from the Philippines. I believe you've gotten another degree in computers since you've been here, or soon will have. So I enlisted Joel Morrell to help me with doing the math on this, because I wanted to know how much, I wanted to get to this point. How many Ozarka bottles of water would it take to bottle up the sea's water? Well, Joel tells me that the seawater on the earth, and I can't even pronounce this number, but I want to write it down. But there's, here's the number, 361, 680, and then add 15 zeros after that. 361, 680, and then add 15 more zeros after that. That is what Joel Morala has told me is the amount of U.S. gallons of seawater on the earth. I then asked Joel, because I just know he's a super smart fella, how many people ever lived on the earth? Is there any number out there of people that lived on the earth, that have ever lived up to this point? What will the population of the earth be if everybody were resurrected right now back to life? Told me that that's a complicated subject, that he's talking like a lawyer now, but you know, it kind of depends that the birth rates and death rates haven't been constant over the years, and so we're not for sure. But it's somewhere between 24 billion people since Adam till now have lived, or as high as 60 billion people have lived. So the difference between 24 and 60 billion is 36. So I split that and got 18 billion and going to add that to 24 billion. So I'm going to just average. I'm going to assume the split of the difference. I'm a lawyer. We like to split the baby. So I'm going to say that there's 42 billion people that have lived on the earth up till this point. So now I want to know how many, if the knowledge of God's going to cover the earth like the water covers the sea, and there's 361, 680, and then 15 zeros of seawater on the earth, and there's 42 billion people on the earth, what is my cut of the seawater? If I were to stack up the knowledge of God at my house in this Ozarka bottle, I want to know how many bottles of water that would be. So I've enlisted the help of a panel of experts, and I'm going to enlist their help to do this. Problem number one, and here's my experts. I needed an engineer, and I've selected Joel Morala. I need a physical science expert, and I've selected Kim Wagner. I need a production engineer, and I've selected Jim Hudson. And I need a heavy equipment engineer, and I've selected Gerald Imes. And I'm going to give them some assignments here before I get into my sermon. And in a moment, I'm going to move them to the back of the room, to the table. And I also, by the way, I also need a domestic expert, and I've selected Debbie Hudson. And here's their assignments. They're going to work on some problems during my sermon. And I'm going to get into the Bible, and they're going to get into the math of this, and then they're going to give me my conclusion at the end of this. Joel, I need you to compute, based upon the amount of U.S. gallons of seawater on the earth divided by 42 billion people. And if you haven't done this, this is not going to work on your calculator because it's off the charts. There ain't enough. Your calculator would be big. This is really complicated stuff to me. I need you to divide up. I'm one person on the earth. How many Ozarka water bottles would it take to store my share of God's knowledge on the earth? 5 U.S. gallons. My panel of experts is going to work under difficult circumstances. One, they've got to work off the British system of gallons, which the science community, I believe, doesn't do. Number two, they've got to work at the back of the room under intense pressure with you watching them. And three, they've got to do it before I complete this sermon. All right, so Joel, your number's going to drive all of the other numbers. No, not yet. See this guy? He's like an overachiever. Okay. Gerald, I want to know how many diesel truck trailers, and I'm talking about the kind I see going down the road like BJ and the Bear used to drive down, that you stand at the back and open up the doors, and standard diesel truck trailer. I want to know how many diesel trucks it's going to take to deliver my water to my house. And by the way, this is 20 inches tall and 16 inches wide. So Gerald's going to compute how many diesel trucks it's going to take to deliver my water. All right, Kim Wagner, where are you at? I want to know, your part of this is if I stack this up, two bottles wide, I'm going to stack them spout to spout, and I don't want them over four bottles high because I want somebody as small as my wife to be able, that's 5 foot tall, to be able to pull one off the shelf. I want to stack this up like cordwood, four bottles high, two bottles wide, my share, and I want to see how long it would be, how long the stack of cordwood would be of these bottles. That's your part of this. Okay, Debbie, I'm figuring that there's going to be 1,100 years that I'm going to have the use of this, and so I want to know however many bottles, once you get the figure of how many bottles my share is, I want to know how many bottles of water I can use a day for 365 days a year times 1,100 years, 1,000 for the millennium, 100 for the last great day. So you're going to come up with the number of how many bottles of water I can use per day. All right. Now, Joel, one more problem. You're going to calculate also this. Did you know that there is 25 billion ounces of gold in the sea water? Not in the seabed, not buried in the ground, but floating around out in the sea itself, in the seawater, there is 25 billion ounces of gold. And I've copied that off an article called Gold from the Sea off of the Internet. In 1994, it was worth $10 trillion U.S. dollars if you had it all. So, Joel, I need you to calculate this. Gold, yesterday's gold price was $425 an ounce, U.S. dollars per ounce. There's 25 billion ounces of gold in the sea. I want to know, as of yesterday's price, what is the seawater's gold value and what will be each man, woman, and child's cut out of those 42 billion, how are you going to divide that up? What would that water that's going to be stacked up at their house in these Ozarka water bottles, what's it going to be worth? Okay, I'm going to move my panel of experts. I've got a special table to you. Oh, we forgot Jim. Jim's a production guy. He knows a lot about paper manufacturing and paper processes. I want to display my godly knowledge stuff. I want to display my Ozarka bottles at my house. I want everybody to know what I've got. So, Jim works for Westfaco Paper. His thoughts about making signs and paper processes are higher than my thoughts. And I'm commissioning Jim. He's going to make me signs that say knowledge of the Lord. And I've given him a little example. This is one that I've got for my ham shed. It says, caution, high AC, DC voltage, and RF radiation. He's going to make me a little goofy sign like this. Maybe thousands, maybe millions of them. I don't know how many he's going to need. But he's going to make a sign. If you can make it, Jim, that it will last 1,100 years, that's great. If we need to change it every 100 years because that's cheaper, that's fine. I don't know how many I'm going to need, but I want to mark my stack of cordwood that Kim's going to give you. I want to mark this every... How far do you post? When you post a no hunting sign, how far are you supposed to post? Every 50 feet, 100 feet? Anybody know? Let's say every 100 feet. I want just a little goofy sign that says knowledge of the Lord. And Jim, I want some kind of fastener on it. And it could be Velcro where you just stick it on there. But I don't care. You design it. It doesn't have to be made of this. This is just my concept. You're going to design it to make it work. And I want to know how much the price of these signs are per sign. And I want to know what the cost of the sign is going to be to display this. And since this is the millennium, you're going to make a fair price on this, and you're going to make a price that is not so cheap that you don't enjoy doing it, but you're going to charge a price so that if there's any problem with this, you're ready, able, willing, and eager to fix it, because you're doing good on this contract. This is the millennium, and you're going to make a fair price, and you're going to have to perform this contract pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So You give me the price per sign and how many of these I'm going to need to mark Kim Wagner's cordwood. Okay, a panel of experts move to the vat. How am I doing on time here? All right. And my experts, you're free to talk to Gerald, and Gerald, you're free to talk to them, and you guys can move around the room at the back there if you need to. Let's turn. I want to look briefly. What will the knowledge of God produce on the earth during this time when it's going to cover the earth like the waters cover the sea? Let's turn to Jeremiah 31. And let's look briefly at verse number 34. This is talking about the same time when during the millennium and beyond, the last great day as well, I believe, when it's talking about this knowledge of God. And it says in Jeremiah 31:34, it says, "No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin. I will remember no more." If you notice something about this, if there's one thing significant here, and I think there's probably lots of things that are significant here, but one thing that is significant here is that during this time, all of the efforts of trying to persuade people, number one, that there is a God, and number two, that his name is Yahweh or Jehovah and not Buddha or Allah or whoever, all of that is going to be ancient history. It says, no more is every man going to teach his neighbor saying, know the Lord, for they're all going to know him, it says, from the least of them to the greatest of them. So when God's knowledge fills the earth, we will have moved beyond, or during the millennium, we are going to be moving beyond what you and I are often involved in, is trying to convince people that Yahweh or Jehovah or whatever other names for God from the Christian faith, that he's God. Everybody's going to know that at that time. That's going to be done away with. It's going to be everybody's got that. And everybody from the top, from the highest echelons of human government or the human pecking order, social order, down to the bottom, everybody's going to get it. Everybody's going to get it. This also tells me that everybody's going to know God's identity. There's lots of names for God in the Bible. Allah is not one of them. Buddha's not one of them. Everybody's going to know that Allah wasn't God. Everybody's going to know that Buddha wasn't God. They're going to know that you and me's idea of God and the Bible's representation of God, that's who God is. Number two, how are people going to know God's identity? How is God going to do that? Believe it or not, you and I play a key role in God communicating to people who he is. God is going to reveal his identity through the revelation of his people and his prophets. Case in point. Let me back up. I recently heard, watching one of the news channels, in Desmond Tutu, Bishop Desmond Tutu, I think he's a bishop from South Africa, I believe. I'm not sure where. But he made the statement, and I'm paraphrasing it, but I believe it's pretty accurate as I remember it. He said, God is neither Christian nor Muslim, but we are all God's children. And I thought, what a goofy thing for a Catholic priest, especially a bishop, to say that God is neither Christian nor Muslim, but we are all God's children. Well, let me tell you this. God says that he's going to reveal himself as God, and one of the ways he's going to do it is through the revelation of his prophets. Case in point, Matthew 17, when Jesus, Elijah, and Moses were transfigured on the Mount of Olives with Jesus. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, Elijah and Moses. Who's going to be in the kingdom? Elijah and Moses and others, other prophets. Number two, return to Isaiah number chapter 49. Let's see if God's going to reveal himself in other ways. Turn to Isaiah 49, verse 6. Indeed, he says, "Is it too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel? I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles." This is clearly a future time. This is clearly in the millennium. Who's God going to raise up and reveal? What people is God going to reveal? It's you and me. It's the house of Israel, the house of Judah. What's he going to do? He's going to give us as a light to the Gentiles. See, one of the ways that God's going to reveal himself and his character is he's going to identify during that time who the people were that had the right ideas about him. He doesn't say here, "I'm going to give the Muslims and the Palestinians and the Arabs, I'm going to give them as a light to the Jews and to the Christians to reveal myself to them." He says, "I'm going to give Israel to the Gentiles as a light to them." God's going to partially reveal himself and his plan through you and me. Go on to verse number 8. "Thus says the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. I will preserve you and give you as a covenant to the people to restore the earth, to cause them to inherit the desolate heritages." Again, who's God going to give to the people as a covenant and to restore the earth? It's Israel. I believe both physical Israel and spiritual Israel. You and me are going to be given to the rest of the earth to help restore the earth under the government of Jesus Christ. Verse 22 of Isaiah 49. "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift my hand in an oath to the nations and set up my standard for the peoples. They shall bring your sons in their arms, and your daughters shall be carried on their shoulders. Kings shall be your foster fathers, and queens your nursing mothers. They shall bow down to you with their faces to the earth, and lick up the dust of your feet. Then you will know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed who wait for me." Do you realize what God's saying here? He's telling you and me that one day he's going to declare an oath to them, and he's going to tell them that you and I, hopefully you and I, but the people in God's church, that we were right, that we were his people. Friend, if you don't believe that, you need to get more confidence in what you believe. If you don't think you're right, you got to get that confidence, because I believe 100% that we are correct and that we are right. If I did not believe that, I would go do something else. I'm not saying I'm right on everything or that you're right on everything, but I do believe that we have a few things figured out, and I believe, I have faith that God is one day going to tell my neighbor and your neighbor that, hey, you know those goofy people that live next door to you that didn't keep Christmas or Easter or didn't do this and didn't do that and got up every Sabbath and went to church and mowed their lawn on Sunday instead of Saturday? That was my son, or that was my daughter. They were my chosen people. God's going to reveal himself to them by revealing you and me. The other thing that the knowledge of God's going to bring about the earth on the earth is that all are going to know that God is sovereign on the earth. People don't believe God is sovereign today. If they believe in God, many people believe in God, they don't believe that he's sovereign. They don't believe that he has authority in their life, or that he has authority in their business or in their home. Look at Isaiah 2 with me, verses 1 through 4. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, Come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. It's for another day, but I think it's pretty well established and shown in the Bible that when the Bible talks about the mountain of God, it's talking about the government of God. I think we know that. Here it says that the mountain of the Lord's house, or stated another way, the government of God's house shall be established on the top of the mountains. Paraphrasing that for you, the government of God's house is going to be established on top of the governments of this earth. Then it goes on to say, many people are going to come and say, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways. See, God's way is going to be the way to do at that time. God's way is going to be the way to learn, no longer Satan's way. It's going to be God's culture. Turn with me quickly to Daniel chapter 2. You know, some people think that, some groups think that God's going to work through human institutions to bring about the kingdom of God here on the earth. In 1998, sometime, I was attending Rotary, a Rotary club, and I dropped out of Rotary for a number of reasons that are too long and boring to explain. But the final straw was a Catholic priest in the group stood up and prayed the breakfast prayer to bless the food, and he prayed. And I'm paraphrasing it, but I'm accurately paraphrasing it. He said, God, please help us to bring about your kingdom here on the earth. And it was just like somebody had thrown cold water on me, Mr. Kirk. I felt upset that I was bowing my head. I felt upset that I was there. I felt upset that I had bowed my head and participated in this prayer. And I thought, you know, I don't agree with that. That's a very Catholic viewpoint. And I haven't read it, but I've heard that that's the viewpoint of St. Augustine in the City of God. And that's a belief, is that God's working through the auspices of the Catholic Church to bring about the kingdom of God on the earth. I don't believe that. I believe the kingdom of God is being imposed from the outside, and God is not working through the churches of this world to bring about his kingdom on the earth. You and I are going to play a role in that, and the church is going to play a role in that. But let's look and see if God's, where the kingdom of God is coming from on the earth. Look with me at chapter 2 of Daniel. Verse 34. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck. This is Nebuchadnezzar's image. You watched while a stone was cut without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, the gold were crushed, says crushed together, became like chaff from the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Notice that phrase, no trace of them was found. They are gone. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, when he comes, is not coming to rehabilitate our governments or to work through our governments. He is not going to do that. He is going to impose a new government from the top down, and the old government, the governments, the laws that I practice, The bankruptcy code, the uniform commercial code, all of this stuff, federalism, blah, 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 that's all going away. It's all going to be brand new. God's not going to work through earthly governments or earthly laws. He's going to replace them. Many people don't understand that the kingdom of God is coming when Jesus comes. I have a tape where Mr. Armstrong says that many people believe that the kingdom of God is some kind of a nothing that enters them. And that is simply, and he is correct. Many people do believe that. But when we talk in terms of the kingdom of God being within you, God is talking about it being in earnest, a down payment of the Holy Spirit. And in that sense, that seed that's going to grow into the government of God and take over the whole earth, that is within us right now. A pure form of that element is within us. That's God's Spirit. But as a literal kingdom, having the Holy Spirit in us is not the kingdom of God. The earth does not understand this. The people of the churches of the world do not understand this. That many think that if they think about the kingdom of God at all, they think that the kingdom of God is some kind of a nothing that enters them. It's going to rule the world when the kingdom of God comes. And that is when our salvation in the kingdom of God comes, when Jesus comes. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When is grace brought to you and me? At the revelation of Jesus Christ, 1 Peter 1:13. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Revelation 11:15. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. Jesus Christ is going to inherit the kingdoms of this world, and they are going to blow away with no trace of them. Finally, when God's knowledge fills the earth, it's going to be contagious. Notice what Isaiah 2 said, "Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us His ways." There will be a hunger and a desire for people to learn God's ways. Notice what Zechariah 8, verse 22 and 23 says. I don't hear this verse a lot, and I think it might be cited more. Yes, many peoples, this is Zechariah 8, 22 and 23. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man. Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Who's this Jewish person? Is this a Jewish person today that currently rejects the Messiahship of Jesus Christ? Is that who this is talking about? Are 10 people going to grab a non-believing Jew in the millennium and say, God is with you? Is that what he's talking about? Remember the Apostle Paul? He said, he that is a Jew is one that is, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, he that is a Jew must be one inwardly, or he that is a Jew is one inwardly. Back in Zechariah's time, when Zechariah was written, the word Christian was not in use. The people who had God's knowledge and knowledge of what God was doing were the Jews, who were looking for Christ to come. This is talking, friends, about you and me and the people that are on the earth that start becoming converted and start getting it. People are going to be grabbing them by the sleeve. It says 10 men from every language are going to be grabbing a hold of them and saying, tell us about God. Tell us about His ways, for we have heard that God is with you. People aren't doing that today. People don't want to know what you and I know. But it's going to come a time when it's going to become very newfangled to know God's way and His laws. All of you in this room are going to become the lawyers of the day. Lawyers like me will be out of business, thankfully. You're going to be the lawyers and the judges in that kingdom. Mr. Kirk, you're going to be a lawyer someday. God's kingdom All of you are going to interpret the laws under the authority of Jesus Christ, and you're going to apply judgment to people. You're the one that's going to settle disputes. You're going to be the voice behind people saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And you're the counselors that are no longer going to be hid from people's eyes. The Bible goes on to say, and I'm closing and going to go to my experts, that even common everyday objects like the bells on the horses are going to be engraved with holiness to the Lord. Knowledge of God and His ways is going to have percolated down so that even common objects around the house, like the bells on your horses or on people's horses, are going to be engraved holiness to the Lord. That's going to be a wonderful time when the knowledge of God covers the earth like the waters covers the sea. You know, I think it's interesting that God uses seawater to describe His knowledge. Did you know that seawater is pretty complicated stuff? It's been manufactured by the earth, and I don't mean that apart from God, but the earth has a way of producing the seawater through natural processes, and it stopped, for the most part, forming about 600 million years ago. But did you know that it's got not just water and salt, but that it's got nitrogen, oxygen, carbon dioxide, argon, helium, and neon gases rolled in it that happen naturally from the wind and the elements blowing across the sea. And it's also got chlorine, sodium, sulfur, magnesium, calcium, potassium, and yes, a little bit of gold. Now, I asked Rose Morala about making water and making salt water. She's a scientist at OSU. And if she were in charge of OSU's resources and facilities, I'm sure she could, within a week's time, maybe quicker, maybe even a matter of hours, could come back with 5 gallons of Ozarka water. She'd come back. She could go into a lab and make water. I bet you within a month's time she could be manufacturing water if money was no object. You can take a little bit of hydrogen, a little bit of oxygen. You mix them together in a whatever, and I've seen it done in a test tube. You stick a Bic lighter under there and ignite it, and it will create water vapor, igniting the hydrogen and the oxygen somehow or other. I've seen it done in a ninth grade science lab. So we can make water. Man can make water. Rose tells me that we can even make something like seawater, but we can't make seawater. It's kind of interesting. We have all this knowledge on the earth, but we can't make godly knowledge, can we? We can't make seawater. All right. Let's talk to my panel of experts. Who's got the information? Joel, do you have all the information, or has everybody got different pieces of it? Tell me how many of these is going to come to my house? Just a second. Let me get to my notes here. How many 5-gallon Ozarka water bottles of God's knowledge will my portion be when they're stacked up at my house?
There are 8.5 billion of that times 1 billion per person.
Okay. You're saying that there's 8.5 billion of these Ozarka
gallons.
Okay.
Times, divided by 5.
Okay. So I'm going to get 8.5 billion of this divided by 5. Let me go on to Jim Hudson. Jim, how much is this little sign going to cost? A lot of money? How much per sign? So we're talking more than billions of dollars just in signs. Billions. So we're talking Joel Morala math again, just to compute the price. 5.2 million?
5.2 times 10.
Okay, that means 5.2 and then add 19 zeros to it. You would get a raise if you brought that contract in. How many of these are coming to my house?
1.7 billion
times 1 billion. So that's 1.7 with how many zeros would that be?
12.
1.7 with 12 zeros is coming to your house. That's how much knowledge of God is yours. Boy, these are way bigger numbers than I thought. 1.7 billion billion. All right, Kim Wagner. If I stack these up, 4 high, 2 wide, my share, how long? In miles, or I don't care, make it British. 389. Okay. The distance the light travels in a year is 6 trillion. Is that right? Okay. Light travels, let's say 6 trillion. I think that's accurate. Light travels 6 trillion miles a year. He's saying that would be 6 trillion miles times 387. 389. That's a lot of bottles of water stacked up at your house. Now, that's a lot of signage. Now, Gerald, boy, I don't even know how you. I don't think we've got the trucks on the earth. How many trucks? How many diesel trucks is it going to take to deliver this? Okay. That's a few diesel trucks that are going to be coming to your house to drop this off. Now, Rose, at $425 an ounce, 25 billion ounces of gold in the sea, divided up. Oh, not Rose. Who did I assign this to?
Joel.
How much money in gold is my allotment of God's knowledge of the seawater?
Not much, just.
Okay, so you're saying that all of this water that I've got stacked up, it's only got 60 cents of gold in it? Really? Well, I'm surprised at that. We'll have to drop that analogy from the story. I thought it would be a lot more than that. Once you divide it by 42 billion people. Well, how much is it worth? How much is the ocean seawater worth? All total today. 1.76 with 10 zeros in U.S. dollars. Okay. There's a lot of money in the ocean floating around out there. It's about $10 billion. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I am out of time. Who? Debbie! Forgot my domestic expert. How many? I can use 5 Ozarka bottles a day for 365 days a year for 1,100 years. So that's 25 gallons of water. You probably consume, not counting your showering, you probably, man, I'm thinking 2 gallons a day. What do you need for water? Sheila, how much water am I supposed to drink a day? A gallon or two? A gallon or two a day. Well, under Debbie's plan, you're going to be able to have 12 times the regular allotment of water that you need. Well, I hope that through this experiment that you can see how much God's knowledge is going to be on the earth and how much knowledge that's going to be per person. And I know that God's not going to divide it up and allocate it, but I hope you see that through this experiment that God has got plenty of knowledge for you and me, and that it's going to be a wonderful time. So drink up and make room.